Growing up, we said this prayer every day in school. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. And I want to thank you, Lord, for all our listeners, the kings, the queens, the princes and princesses who are listening to us. Thank you, Lord, for making them who you've made them to be. So for International Black Women's History Month, I'm so excited to get to honor women in my life, in my past, and in my present. Girls, ladies, moms, grandmas, every person who has crossed my path, you're phenomenal. For the doctors, the nurses, you're dynamite. For the ones who are there on the front line for us, you're phenomenal. For the ones who have nurtured us, cared for us, you're phenomenal. For the Ida B. Wells who blazed the trail as an anti-lynching crusader. Yeah, Nanny of the Mules. Oh my goodness. And any of your heroes who you look up to. It's International Black Women's History Month. Nobody's talking about it. But here at the Beloved Queens, we honor our women. We honor beautiful black women who are working, who are mothering, who are wifing, who are just being queens. We love you.
Hello, 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 world. We're honored you came back to the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matheson with my ladies, Claudia Lewis, everybody calls Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray. Ready, queens?
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man. Trina, you had a topic that you wanted us to discuss, roping.
Yes, I was thinking about how lucky we are that we married well, because it's one of the things that I thought about over 2020. Is what if I didn't like hubby? I couldn't stand being around him. We were just constant, you know, like what if we were arguing every 2 seconds? We didn't even want to be in the same space with each other. And I was like, you know, when people talk about marrying well, they're talking in terms of finance, looks, status, you know, that's the concern. But can you be in the same space with somebody 24 hours and actually like them, want to be around them all the time? Those are the questions I thought about. And I'm like, are people thinking about these things when they get married? Because I know, let me keep it 100. I don't think I was thinking about that, but I knew that our friendship was solid. Like I loved spending time with hubby and we were genuinely friends. It's friendship. A thing people think about when they're getting married?
Well, it should be.
It should be the main thing,
it should be. It's so funny that you should say that, because we have a family chat group on WhatsApp, and when we had the lockdown last year, the first thing I type out with my otada self, I say, I whoops, I'm on a Mario no friend, because
it's about to get real.
Talk up.
And I threw that out, and I said that because that's just the feeling I had at the time, because I was feeling how people are going to be in an lockdown situation with the person, and if they don't like them, because a lot of times we are in relationships where they are like ships passing through the night. They don't spend time with each other. This person goes to work, that person goes to work. So some people on day shift, some people on night shift, they literally don't see each other. But right. It works because they're not spending time with each other. So now when the country, you know, when everywhere got locked down and you had to be with that person 24/7. Do you know how many people ended their relationship during this quarantine?
Oh.
Because they realize that they are living with strangers. Yep. So when you said marry well, I knew it was, you know, when the first thing that comes to mind was, you know, monetary, you know, financial. But, you know, when you put the twist and being like, are you marrying into a, you know, a good relationship? You marry your friend, you marry your best friend. And that was the thing gone in the past, where they'd normally say, make sure you marry your best friend, because after a while, which is true, the whole lovey-dovey sex.
Hello.
After sex, you have to talk. Come on, people. I mean, all right. In the 24/7s, how much time do you can have sex?
Enough for your sex.
I have to stop sometimes, drink water.
Rabbit said, you know.
But understand, I have to take a break, I have to talk. So if you can't communicate, if you don't know the person you are married to or living with, it's going to be difficult. Were you growing together or growing apart? Lad, my sis, Trina, that topic is more than deep. Tina, what you say?
I don't know if everybody starts. I'm just going to be the devil's advocate today since some people married their best friend. I don't know if I necessarily married my best friend. I think I grew into a friendship relationship, because like in our episode when we talked about getting married.
True.
We talked about getting married to an image or an idea of who the person was, and then when you get married, no, they change to be something else. Or someone always tell me about this thing, like when you get married to a man, and if he was doing a certain thing that you never like, when you get married to him, it's gonna double or triple, because he is now comfortable. So if that was a pet peeve of yours when you were dating, true, and you're like, why do you have to do this? Why do you have to do that? Well, when he gets married to you, he gets comfortable, and that's going to be like 100 times worse. So I don't know if I necessarily married my best friend, but I can tell you that I've grown into friendship with him over the years that we've been married. And even over in the lockdown period, for me, I was always a very busy, I was a ships in the night type of person, because of, you know, just different things and responsibilities and work and different stuff. But I genuinely in the lockdown like my dude, you know, I'm like, I kind of like this guy. I didn't feel uncomfortable being in the same bed or in the same house. I genuinely like, babes, you know, something like you. And when I see some people, it's like, I can't stand
that's
this
true.
Man.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
We're not getting along, or man, I don't know what it is, but he's not the guy I married. Exactly. Yes, he was. But a lot of times our emotions. Sometimes, though, your emotions paint an image of what you want him to be. Your emotions tell you that he's your...
Yeah, that's true.
He's your person. And sometimes your emotions... And that's why you cannot process every single thing through your emotions. Logic has to be a balance in all of this. You know, I was talking to my like grandma and stuff about my husband. And they told me like they were so happy that he was my... gonna be my husband because he was so quiet, and you know, it's me, my
I'm loud.
But my grandma, my grandma was like, I liked him so much because I felt like he replaced her grandson, which was my brother Ricky, who passed away. She said, I felt so comfortable that he was the guy because he didn't have any flash on. He wasn't trying to impress. He was just him. And she said he was so quiet. And even when he came and asked them for marriage and stuff, I didn't even know this all was going on. But he was like, my mom said he just came to her and said, I want to marry your daughter. And I think we're ready, and I'm going to ask her, and she, and he whips out the ring and show it to her, and she's like, wait, you buy the ring already, but suppose you say no.
Cause them know you.
And he just silently in his very peaceful, calm way, he silently said, I think she's going to say yes. And, you know, he just... It's like he knows, he just knew what he wanted. He went to the parents, let them know, and he just took the leap, and he was like, I'm pretty confident she's going to say yes. But so you just, you know, it's like, and even some years later now, you're like, okay, this, I have a part of my wedding story that I have to tell you guys. The night before my wedding, someone was supposed to pick me up. So, you know, they have all these fictitious things that you can't see the groom before the wedding. Mm-hmm. You can't see him on the wedding before the wedding or the night before the wedding. And I literally was at home waiting for somebody to come and pick me up to drop me off at the hotel. And I literally was stranded because the person did not come and pick me up. I just called babe and I was like, babe, you know, I'm still there at the house. He's like, what? I'm at the hotel already. He's like, I'm going to come and get you. Night before wedding, him could have in bed asleep, whatever. Him come and pick me up. Right?
Sweet there.
Him come and pick me up. So that's how you know that for the long haul, when you're in a pickle, I mean, that said to me, when you're in a pickle, he's going to always be there to pick you out of it. You know? So I don't think I married my best friend necessarily, but I think that we just have a really deep friendship. You know what I mean? It's a deep friendship that is different from anybody else's. Although I love him, I like him too.
That's the best way, huh? You have to like the person that you love.
Yeah, because I remember even early, I think sometimes... I would say to babes, if me and babes have an argument, babes, you know, right now, I don't like you. I love you. But right now, at this minute, I don't like you.
I might not like you, but I still love you.
Right now, you're the
person. Right at this moment.
Right at this moment.
I'm not going to like you, babe.
But it's so important to like the person you're with. Because, I mean... you're not going to be motivated to want to go the extra mile. Right? Because you're going to be like, me, I waste my time. And I mean, come on, because ego gets us in trouble all the time. Let's be honest. It gets us in pride. Oh, Lord, that's another thing, too. Because when we feel like they don't deserve the love or the communication, okay, you know what we talk about. They want this to one wall.
I hope you all went and saw the stone wall on Facebook. Please, people, if you have not read the article, you might be guilty. Mm-hmm. Just check it out. Check it out, please.
But we withhold that as punishment. So it's important to make sure we have that communication where we can talk through things and find out what, you know, what is going to work for us as a couple.
What are we saying to women that are possibly in the situation where they love their husbands? How do they learn to like the person they are with?
Quality time. How else are you going to find out? The simplest thing is spend time together.
It's rediscovering, right?
Yeah. You have to spend time. Yeah.
It's rediscovery because it's really rediscovery because at the end of the day, there is life. There's a bucket for work. There's a bucket for children. There's a bucket for financial partners. There's a bucket for business partners. There's all these roles, right? But at the end of the day, if you strip the relationship of the roles and just see him as him and you as you, right? We can sit down without pomp, without circumstances, without fluff and figure out like, okay, right. I remember I liked him because we had X in common. Because again, you can't grow out of That's liking true. Them too, you know, because you start having different interests. You have different interests. So it is possible to grow out of liking someone because they want to be stuck in traditionalism and you would like to evolve into a growing, budding, changing female. So these things happen where you really want to, you know, all right, for example, if one person, you know, we always have in the hats. So if one person is love to read and one person is more visual and love to learn that way, right? The reader, again, you want to gobble up all of the information. You want to read all the articles. You're looking up all the studies and you're growing as a result of the knowledge. But sometimes some people learn differently. If you're trying to throw an article on somebody who is an audible learner or is a person who likes visuals, you're going to lose the person. So if you can find that article, but on a YouTube video, you could share something that you have in common that, okay, you find this thing interesting and you're like, babe, I find this thing interesting, but check this out on a video. You might end up bridging the communication gap instead of trying to shove an article, for example, down them throat. You understand what I'm saying? So we wanted to talk about studying your partner. And this is a perfect place to do that because a lot of times, like Veronica said in a couple episodes before, you fall in love with the image that you want mm-hmm. this person to be because everybody have them Prince Charming in a them head. Right? What people have not done very well is to study the Prince Charming that they have married. Okay? And one of the things we wanted to talk about is studying your man. So, your love, everybody, basic level. And if you're married or if you're in any kind of relationship, it's not even having to do with marriage. Any relationship that you have, because what we've discovered over the past couple of weeks with doing this podcast, it's a relationship all the way across from family to husband to spouse to sisters to brothers. Something has just opened up the floodgates where our families are now communicating to us more in a more deep way than we didn't have before. So one of the things is, what is your love language and what is your spouse's love language? Right? There's a book and there is free tests that you can go and take to figure out how someone receives love.
And that's all different love than how you might be showing them love. That's a miscommunication right there. So it's all part of rediscovering and discovering. Some of it is rediscovering. Some of it is actually new discovering of the person you're living with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Because you're in a situation now where you like to be loved a certain way. Okay. As I'm going to use Queen Trina as an example. She is a social butterfly. She loves to go out in nature. You know, that fuels her, fires her, makes her feel like, oh, yes.
The same. Right. Yep.
Right? And you can elaborate if you want. But this Queen Trina love, tell us what the outdoors does for you in terms of just making you feel full.
First of all, I love the sun. I love the light. That's the first thing. I love the light. The sunlight, oh, it opens me up. I feel like that's my joy. Like just being in the sunlight makes me feel joyous. Being around people. And I love to go on dates by myself and just people watch. And just to see people interact and the smiles on their face or just looking at someone and smiling at them, making their day. That fulfills me. I love hearing the birds, you know, looking up at the sky, seeing the sky, like nature. I just fall. I'm in love with nature. I love being outdoors. And I get my best ideas by being outdoors. That's when everything floods to me. Oprah got her bathtub. I have the outdoors.
Oh.
I have the outdoors. That's where it comes to me. But, you know, one of the things you said, Tina, about, you know, you and your spouse kind of evolving all the time and being mindful about the love language. Because I thought about when I did the love language test, I was shocked at my love language, because I like gifts. So I was like, yeah, that's my language. Y'all better bring the gifts, but bring the gifts. But it wasn't. It was actually quality time. And I'm like, that makes sense, because I do love spending time with people. But I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking in one way, thinking that I like gifts, therefore this should be the way I receive love. So we have to be aware of how we perceive it and how it really is. Like my expectation was it was definitely going to be gifts, not the quality time. Because quality time for me is so natural and I do that with everyone. So I was like, no, it can't be that. It has to be.
It's across the board. It's not just with your spouse. Right. She loves literally if there is a, you just want to hear a pan drop and Trina plan events. This is just how it goes, right? Yeah. If we get like one follower at time, let's go. You know, if we get one, she celebrates life. She celebrates
every moment,
step, you know, and without concentrating, she just loves spending quality time, connecting, finding a way to say. So this is how she gives love, guys. But in terms of receiving now, that's a whole nother issue. So how would you say you receive love, Trina?
I thought it was gifts. I think it, for me, I really believe it's a combination. I think affirmation and gifts. I think that's how I receive love. Affirmation and gifts. And I found it changed over the years. That's another thing.
It evolves as the person grows and changes. Mm-hmm. Because
boy.
So I remember going on a little retreat with me and my husband. Just us went, we went to Savannah or some random little thing. And that's the first time we did the test. And that test makes you know right away, real quick, that what you think your love language is,
exactly.
It's not. So there can be a situation where you don't really know yourself and what you need to feel full. Okay? And there is some stuff that when you discover from your love language that you expect from a spouse, you can't give it to yourself because you know how you feel. So there are some things that, like for my husband, he shows love by doing stuff for you. He's the acts of service kind of guy, right? So he's not going to be the one that says, oh, baby, you're beautiful. Oh, baby, you're this. And, you know, lyrics you out. But he is going to work hard. He is going to, if you have something that you want him to create, he'll do that for you. It's his way of showing and demonstrating love. He shows it, not says it necessarily, okay? He demonstrates love. So, but me at the talker over here, so, right?
Lama, lama.
I'm the talker, but what I've discovered, as much as he shows love, when I say to him, baby, I'm proud of you. I appreciate all the time and overtime that you've been doing. When I say, honey, you are so creative. Oh my goodness. You see, once me start pouring the affirmation by my husband, you see, everything we never doing at the house, done.
Yeah.
If sure. Everything what he'd missing, show up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives him fuel. Ladies, when was the last time you fired up your husband? When was the last time you gave him some affirmation? If he's a guy that needs it, and every now and then we all do it at some level, you know? When was the last time you said, babe, you're the best thing that... Oh my gosh, I see what's going on outside and I have you. Thank you. I mean, all this week I was bawling because I just felt so grateful for the husband I married. And I'm telling you, I can't say I'm the picker of anything. Like we said, God gives you who you need. And so all this week I was just grateful, like, to have this constant force in my life.
Mm.
This person who doesn't fray with the test of any kind of storm. He just is firm. I was just so grateful that even when I don't know what I want, he's clear. Or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have this person who can balance you in the waves, balance you when you're down. He's a man of few words, but when him speak, just run on and do it. Quick. And you find that, oh my goodness, this was a solution. So I'm literally giving them some gratitude sometimes. It's so important because you have to understand that when your man leave your house, everybody and their mother want to tear him down.
Yep.
And so then you cannot make his castle be somewhere where he can't come home to. There's a lot of men out there that don't want to go home because the women in the house. Okay, the Bible always talk about this. Some people, it better them live on the roof of this house than for live in the house with a dripping faucet. The wife is the dripping faucet, just nagging. And they're not words of praise. They are words that are breaking down. So if your husband leaves that home and he's being attacked every step of the way, and then he comes home and he's still being attacked, there's no reprieve.
Mm-mm.
Why would he want to come home?
Him not come home.
Well, why would you want to come home to the same thing that you're getting outside? You're going to find, and this is why some people cheat. Because somebody have a kind word to say to them that they have never heard or they're not hearing. Word.
Hey, beautiful. Hey, handsome.
One kind word.
One little funky thing and it's like they're out the door.
And it's something so simple. You look nice. Mm. Thank you. I appreciate you.
You smell good today, honey.
You smell good.
My love, you like cook food. You know, I have to bring up the food.
Yes, Trina, but no.
We would not be on this with you if you did not bring up the food. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Oh, God.
That type of stuff. I, you know, honey, I really honor your thoughts and your opinions matter to me. Just little things.
You know.
Because again, you're in a world where I'm just going to go there. Black people don't want to hear from black men. You know, and they have to fight for their voices to be heard. And they have to come home and fight you too?
They're not the time.
Mm-hmm. It's tiring. Come on. It's exhausting just to be constantly being beaten down without anyone lifting you back up. And sometimes women, we have to put ourselves into their shoe. Would you like to be chastised constantly? Would you like to be criticized constantly? I know some of you are going to be like, well, that's how I am being attacked every day. You don't like it, right? If that's what you're getting, you have to leave that environment because that's just going to constantly break you down until it kills your soul, kills who you are. So as much as you might, some people stay in relationships because they like the visual of it, but they're what we said in India, pop down.
We said that all the time.
Pop down.
But you are staying there. You're staying in the relationship because it looks good. You know, you have someone, quote and unquote, you have someone, but everybody in there is miserable. You can't change that.
Yeah, that's their road.
And I'm sure you have some women who are like, I'd rather be by myself. But you're miserable too.
What? It is not good for a man to be alone. Who remembers that verse? Mm-mm. Okay? And I'm telling you, you were talking about the whole idea of just to your point about being in there and feeling like you don't belong or you're a fish out of water. Sometimes, honestly, some women don't realize that even what they don't say is what's the word? You're emasculating him, even what you don't say, because your body language says, we are better. Right. Your body language is not welcoming because I'm just talking from a black female's point of view, okay? If we don't like you, our face, our body,
you'll know.
Our entire essence says, do not speak to me. So imagine, so check yourself as well, ladies. Yes, sometimes in a situation I want to pop down, but sometimes you're not a nice person in terms of just how you're like, but I'm not saying anything. I don't say anything. At least I'm not a dripping faucet. Your whole body language is a bust.
Check to my back.
Do not speak to me. It's not dripping, but it has said the pipe is burst, where the person is afraid to approach you. Because at any moment, the dam is going to just flow over. Body language. So there is nonverbal and there is verbal communication. I remember I learned this lesson about being passive aggressive. Because here's one thing. I'm a very, very vocal person. And I am. When me no want to talk, me shut down. But here's the thing about being passive aggressive, which I learned. And passive aggression is just, you know what? Somebody do you something, so you just stop talking to them, and you're just you've removed yourself completely. We talk about stonewalling, but passive aggressive is you're being aggressive, but in a passive way, where you're not saying anything, but because you are a person who, if you're like me or you're like Trina, who is very out there, extroverted, when you stop talking, the whole world knows that something is wrong. So a passive-aggressive approach is to, you know what? I'm not going to fight. And Trina can talk about this very well. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to say anything to rock the boat. Ooh. I'm agreeing with everything that you say. But my bex.
Hey, all right.
I'm not talking. And what we don't realize, people, our communication, our words, our verbal, nonverbal, you have to remember that you're carrying around an essence, you know. Your essence is not only what come out of you. It's what is around you.
Hello.
So when you don't talk with the passive aggression, it is just as much. But this is how the Lord showed me this plain and straight. Your passive aggression is like boxing somebody in them face. Mm.
Oh, Lord.
Because what your passive aggression says to someone is that you don't exist.
Yep.
You are not. Don't even come over here in my presence. I do not acknowledge that you're alive. Do not even look at me. Don't even come near me. You just shut them down like they did. And God is like, you cannot treat people who are alive as if they're dead.
Talk up the things, Tina. Yeah, talk up the business. Go on. Go on, talk.
Passive aggression is as bad as somebody boxing in your face because it wreaks havoc. When you shut down, you are wreaking havoc on somebody's mental health. And that's hard. That's harder. That's hard like a beating.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
You're wreaking havoc on somebody's emotions. They don't know what you're thinking. They're afraid to say what they want because they are on eggshells and pins and needles around you.
But you know, the irony in that is you are too. Because you have a whole conversation under your head, you know. You have an argument with yourself. Okay. It's all in your mind. You talk out the whole thing in your head. Let me tell you, funny story, but it's funny but not funny. Like, I remember in the beginning of my marriage, I was afraid of speaking out because that would lead to arguments. And what I grew up with, a house full of women, when I see them and their partners arguing, someone would leave the house, and that someone was the man. So in my head, I interpret that, wait for it, if we argue, y'all leave. That's what I interpret that as. To avoid the argument, I would internalize everything and talk about the passive aggressive, shut down, now say a word. I just have sit down and I, let me say, I argue with myself, because in my head, I'm like, he should know what I'm feeling. In my mind reader, poor thing. In my mind reader. So he should understand how I'm feeling, and he should come and apologize to me. Remind you, the man don't even know what me I'm thinking of, but he should come and apologize to me. So I'm sitting, stewing, waiting for an apology. Remind you, I didn't say a word about how I'm feeling, but I'm expecting an apology. Wrong and strong in Aito. And this went on for weeks.
I get upset when him don't do it, right?
Poor. When him not do nothing, girl.
When the simple fact exists that he doesn't even know.
He don't know. Arguing with myself. Don't do it, ladies. Don't do it. Don't be like me. Don't be like me.
Like, Trina, what happened? Because you had that fear. I mean, like, it's almost like childhood trauma where you saw that arguments lead to the male leaving. What happened for you to decide, okay, I am going to speak my mind regardless of the fear that I have that you may leave?
Story had to come to bump, as they would say.
Okay.
We had our, like, first major argument. There was no turning back from them. The emotions were high, and I just had to say, but everything came out. Talk about vomiting. Everything came out. Like, poor thing. 7 years come.
Oh, wow. Everything you was holding back.
Holding back came out. And I'm like, oh, my God, why am I so angry? Why? Like, he couldn't understand. Like, he was overwhelmed. Like, what are you talking about? Because I was bringing up stuff from years back.
A woman memory, hello, man. A woman memory.
Every argument, everything was said. He's like, why are you bringing that up? And he kept on saying, why are you bringing that up? Like, I didn't even give him a moment to respond. It was just like, boom, 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 boom. Just letting it out. And it was the first time where I was like,
the crazy thing about that whole situation, I remember I actually went to New York for a whole month. So I end up leaving, not him.
Oh. It's almost like you had to see it happen still.
Somebody had to leave.
See how crazy that is?
So crazy. Lord of my God. God, thank you. God alone. Left the mind.
You see how crazy that is? Because in your mind, you're saying someone has to leave. So if he's standing there,
that means I gotta go.
And not going, I need to bounce.
So I left and went to New York for a whole month. Isn't that crazy? Trauma. Those childhood traumas, they come and get you when you don't deal with them. And I had to deal with that.
But here's the thing. But how you reach back of your yard? Because when you leave now, everybody's saying, but wait, she left? A lie. People can't really leave their marriage. How could you do that?
No, I don't think she thought she left her marriage. She just left.
I just left.
Talk.
In my head, I was just leaving to go think. I needed time to process. That's what I was thinking. But I didn't communicate that with him. I was just like, I need some time. I'll be back. I was like, I need some time. I'll be back.
Did you give him an end date for your time?
No, boo. You see, when it came month, after 4 weeks, all I heard was, your ticket is booked on a Friday. You leaving on the Monday. I'll pick you up from the airport. I was like, okay.
Oh, damn.
Come on, yeah.
You can't come out on timeout. Come on. Let me just take you out of timeout since you don't know when to come out
since
of timeout.
You don't know when.
Listen.
The big man talk. You can't over there stew.
Hello.
Come here, yard.
Come here, yard. But like, it's time to come home is what I heard. It's time for you to come home now. I was like, oh.
And you just quietly pack up your stuff in them, guy.
You say, man, them are it. But in their airport, though. I'm laughing about it, but seriously, ladies, I could have seriously lost my marriage. That could have been a breaking point
but seriously, Trina, think about it. Who left? Let me ask you something. We live in Atlanta, people, as I've said over and over. Atlanta is known to have the ratio, I think it is 4-1, females to male. Anyway, what it is basically what it is saying is there's a shortage of men, good men. And this crazy woman pick up herself and leave the good man for four weeks.
4 old weeks.
And you come back and find him.
Hey.
4 weeks.
So,
Devil's
advocate. Because sometimes you get to a boiling point and you gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes,
Devil's advocate.
Devil's.
The road runners of our time. Me not gonna get to that old road runner, I know, but there are times when you legitimately feel like if I don't go, I'm a pressure cooker right now.
I'm a blow.
And I'm gonna blow. I'm gonna lose my crap. Okay? So my question for Trine is, right? Because you legitimately felt, as much as it was a crazy thing and we laughed about it, you legitimately felt that whatever the problem was, you had to get away.
Yeah, seriously.
And there are a lot of people who are in the dungeon of like issues where they feel like, I can't breathe. I need to leave. This is suffocating me. I gotta go. Because remember, that's what quarantine does for you. I mean, we're coming right back full circle to quarantine, where you feel like you cannot breathe. So when you are in an argument of that nature where you personally feel attacked, because it's not like it's all flowers and and mm-hmm. petals that, you know, on the wedding day, you see mm-hmm. the petals. Life is not about that when you get married, right? The petals, thank you, Jesus, for those petals. And we walk yes. on it and we're like, yes, roses. Okay? But you legitimately had a place where you were not comfortable. So how tell the people them, how do you get over and resolve the issue that you have to move past it and get back to a place of friendship? Did you need external help? Like, how do you process the pain if you're mad with the person?
We had to go to marriage counseling. I mean, he was like, we're going to counseling. Because he didn't know. I was totally shut down. I felt like I wasn't myself because I was so angry and hurt. And that's not me. I don't walk around being angry. It's just everything was coming to the surface and I didn't know how to handle it. So my defense mechanism was to shut down completely. He could not handle that at all. He was like, we got to go to marriage counsel because I don't know how to resolve this and you're not talking to me. So what we need help. So we had to go to marriage counseling and we did sessions together and separately because then I realized I had to deal with my childhood trauma and my issues with men and how I relate and trust men. Because at that point she was like, it's interesting because I feel like you trust him because if you didn't, you wouldn't be running to New York for a whole month. Cause girl, you did. She said the same thing you did. She was like, you left your man for a month. She had to laugh about that. She's like, you crazy. I said, I know. That was a crazy move. But, like, I had to deal with the trauma that I grew up in and the trust issues and to resolve those and then to come together and to be able to let him understand where I was coming from so we can move forward as a couple and he understands when I react a certain way, it's not necessarily something that you're doing, but it triggers something in me. It's a trigger that I don't even recognize myself. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
So I was totally triggered. It's like he was pressing every red button and didn't realize it.
Hot button.
And I was about to explode. We needed help.
And that's the thing, guys. That's the point. In our community, and whether, and it's a Black issue, in our Black community, whether you're from Jamaica, in the Caribbean, if you come from Africa, the same thing. And if you are a Black American, it's the same issue. There is a deep distrust of mental health experts, even though it is a huge problem in our community. Think of all the trauma Black people have gone through all through the years, from slavery to police brutality to healthcare fatalities. I mean, you think about all of the trauma as a people that Black people have gone through. And none of us have gone to a person who specializes in, and I'm not saying none of us, I'm just saying it is looked down upon to go to a mental doctor to sort out your demons. We all have them. We all have issues, whether it's childhood issues that we're carrying into our adulthood, you know, that only a mental expert can get into the compartment. The thing is, you get to a point in your mental space that you cannot help yourself. But there are trained professionals to do that. I have my mental people there on speed dial. I have to have one for work. I gotta have one for marriage. You have to have someone who can, and just to explain it to your people, there's a thing that old people used to say, do not wash your dirty laundry in public. And I think they see it in all kinds of different ways. How are you going to show our business in the streets, right? Don't wash your dirty laundry in public. You're not doing it in public. You're talking to a mental professional who, by HIPAA laws, cannot disclose what you're talking about. This is not you going to talk to your neighbor and then hearing your business next door. This is someone who they're trained, They have their various degrees, and they are bound by law not to discuss or disclose your deepest, darkest issues. So most people would rather keep their deepest, darkest issues inside of their head and go mad, take drugs, do whatever it is to silence it, alcohol, whatever it is, you know, porn, you name it, right? They would do whatever it is to self-medicate instead of just going to someone who's specializing in mental health care. We need them. There's points in a marriage. If you feel stuck in your marriage, if you feel stuck, there are marriage therapists. No, you can't go to everybody. I'm going to tell you, let's just be honest. Black people need black people. I'm sorry. Black women need some black women sometimes to like, these ladies are my therapists sometimes, but sometimes they don't have enough mental prowess or professional to help me. So I got to get the one that has the degree, because she will tell me, okay, I hear you say this. This is how the therapists operate. I hear you say, they just make you talk, because you have to get it out. And then they make sense of your mess, and they'll say, my one in particular, she said, I hear you say this. You're very happy when you say this. I hear you say this. You're really mad when you say this. So for you to find peace in your soul, I would suggest that you do the thing over here that feeds your joy. Or if you sit in this space and it makes you uptight, if you sit in this space and your anxious and anxiety is kicking, you have to relocate from that position in the house and go somewhere else. Because I'm telling you, quarantine serious. When you're in a one office and all hell a break loose in just this one place, and you're like, work is stressful. And it's not, now it's all in your house. So if you have marital strife on top of work stress and children stress and money stress, it can really fracture a relationship. So sometimes you just need that one person that can say, okay, I hear what she's saying, I hear what he's saying, but I want to talk to her alone, because there's something that's under the surface that needs to be come out, and then I'll bring you back together. And I promise you, there's a point in I remember going to the first therapist for marriage when we never was having stuck. I'm telling him something, he's telling me something, and none of us is not hearing one another. And I remember the therapist said to me, there are some women that just live in walls. They build walls around themselves, build walls to keep it moving, because you can't take a break and you can't pop down. You just have to keep going, because the world needs you to be strong. She said they build the walls, they have pain, they build the walls, they have pain. And she said, because God did not make us to live in walls, one day those walls crash. And everything that you thought you built up inside was safe now comes crashing down. So she had to pull me aside and deal with my childhood stuff separate before she brought us back. You understand? So guys, these people are here to help, right? I will forever pop up a therapist situation. Black women have gone through so much sexual trauma as children, and a lot of people don't talk about it. Right? And they carry that childhood trauma into their marriage, and they're stressing out their husband because you didn't get to deal with it. You didn't go to the doctor. It's okay to heal yourself, girls. It's okay to go to someone that can heal your pain. There are some people that had a heartbreak from some ex, and the person devastated you, and you never get to heal from that. There are some people that there's some people that you just don't know how to find your joy anymore. You are a happy person and you realize that you've become something different. I promise you. When we talked about love language, it's because you're not being filled by what fuels you. So Queen V, me know that we've seen people torn down and we see people get built back up. We see people relationship go south and we see it come back up. We've seen our own situation go through and it's but for the grace of God how we have still been able to hold on. But we want to bring hope to everybody, right? It's hope. Hope does not disappoint. We want to bring hope to everybody. So Queen V, just give them some level of like hope, because even in a place of destruction, God can still use the mess.
Okay, for me, music is my center, my joy. Like I keep telling my friends, like worship is my weapon. So if what I think when you say hope, a lot of people tend to forget what brings them joy. And sometimes when you're in this place of hopelessness, you have to go back in your psyche and look for the simple things that used to bring you joy. They don't have to be big. Sometimes it's the simplest thing. If you remember going on a Sunday afternoon to get ice cream, get up, go out and get that ice cream. If you remember walking through sprinklers as a kid and getting wet and don't care about your hair being wet or your makeup being messed up, but just running through sprinklers, get up, go run through sprinklers. Something, there's a chemical reaction takes place when your spirit lights up, when you get that little glimpse of joy and hope that feels, and it breaks that hopelessness. It doesn't have, sometimes it's a music that you heard, you used to grow up on, you heard in your past, or you used to sing at Sunday school, or you know, you used to hear it play on the radio when you were in the house cleaning as a child. It doesn't have to be anything big and elaborate. It's something that you have in your psyche, in your memory, that you can draw from to get you out. Because sometimes you can't call your friends. As much as you have that friend, that ride or die, sometimes they're not available.
What do you do?
What do you do? Mm-hmm. David had to encourage himself. The great David had to encourage himself. You have to sometimes encourage yourself. And sometimes that encouragement is just one glimpse of hope, that one light, that one thing for laughter. For me, if I am down, comedy, music and comedy. My house will always have laughter. If I ever feel any glimpse of like I'm not feeling well or I'm just feeling down, you best believe a comedy show will be on in my house, or my house will be blasting with praise and worship music. Something to get you out of that, because your mind is extremely powerful. So if you're in that hopelessness, what depression does, it feeds on that. So you have to bring in new information. New information comes from, yes, you have to flip the script, bring in something that is going to contradict the darkness that is trying to overpower you. For me, it's music. For me, it's laughter. For me, it's comedy. Some people, it might be the walk. For Trina, it's nature. And I love nature too, because there's nothing that man can claim that I can point that God made. So I love nature as well. But the thing is, you have that thing. Some people, it's makeup. Some people, it's dressing up, making themselves feel good. Even if their insides are not. But it shifts the atmosphere. It shifts something in them. It gives them a little glimmer of hope. And some people, it's literally a smile from a stranger. You never know.
Because me mad, me love talk to myself in the mirror. Like, girl, oh, you're cute, sir. Hey, so proud of you, girl. Yes. Trust me. me no need a school for wind me up. I'm my biggest cheerleader, girl. You know, I forgive you. That was really wrong.
I love it.
Forgive yourself. I'm in the mirror all. I talk to myself. I said, girl, I'm really proud of you today. You know, so you put on your big girl panties. So good. And I'll clap myself. Sure. Listen, man, that gives me joy because at the end of the day, I hear in my psyche, my own voice, being proud of me.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, somebody not gonna like you. Somebody gonna criticize you. You're not enough here. You're not enough there. You're not this. You're not. Listen, me mad. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm like, girl, man, you have double chin. It's all right. Yeah, work on it.
Hello. Love all you, baby girl. Girl, I've been rubbing on the stomach. I'm like, I love you, but you got to go. But we work it.
You got to go. We're transitioning. So it's just being gentle with yourself, loving on you sometimes. Because again, you just expect, you can't expect everybody for sure you and give you everything what you need. And you can't even spend like a time and say, girl, I really like being with you, you know. Some people don't even like being with their own self. So how are you going to like being partnered and liking someone else? So all I'm saying, if you can figure out what makes you and bring you joy, it's super easy. And sometimes people say, you know what, but him should have known because he's supposed to know.
Mind reader.
Why am I preach and I tell him every minute, Well, sometimes you have to communicate. Sometimes they have five priorities in their head. And what you have said slipped the place number three, but there's something, two bigger priorities, number one and two in front. And he just never heard you. You have to say it again. It's even having grace for the person that lives inside your house that you sleep beside.
Mm.
That's in your house. You have to have grace. Not everybody is the boogeyman that is out to steal your purpose and kill your joy. Sometimes you're too uptight, girls. Why are you always the victim, or why is somebody trying to take your light? They cannot do that unless you give it to them.
Yep.
So be the brightest bulb in the house. Here? And stop criticizing and complain. Those are light suckers. Some people just think it's other people can come in them way and take away them light, you know. Criticizing, negativity, and complaining kills your joy too, regardless of who you are, regardless of what your love language is. Criticizing, negativity kills your joy too.
But you got to be mindful if it's not yourself. Sometimes you don't recognize that you're the one who's miserable. So misery love company, you making everyone around you miserable. You got to be aware of that. And said, am I the problem? Am I the one? Find your joy. Find your own joy.
For homes and hearts that are void of joy, I release the light of God's joy into your homes and into your hearts. May it be your will, dear Lord God, that you multiply in my home, in every listener's home, the light of joy. Bring blessing and peace and a good, unclouded life to them, and that you may illuminate their souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at The Beloved Queen.